I'm Phil C.
And I'm Lynn.
And together,
we're Roman Oz.
Real interviews.
With real people.
On location.
With a great mix of Aussie music.
As requested by the people we interview.
Follow us on Facebook.
Or check us out. AllAussieRadio.com.au.
Now syndicated too.
Backwater Country, 87.6 FM.
Tuesdays and Fridays.
At 9 PM. All interviews are live.
And on location.
And may vary in audio quality from segment to segment.
So, Phil, what's on the show this week?
Well, Lynn, the entire program is at Nanango Country Music Muster.
That's correct, yes.
So who's our first guest?
Our first guest is Keith, and he's one of the parking attendants, or the main parking attendant.
And hasn't he got a trying job?
He has, yes. There's like over 500 vans, and it's like a jigsaw, but they're all in.
It is. And his responsibility, of course, is to try and keep them all happy because they've changed all the parking rules here. And, people are a bit confused. And so is poor Keith. He's got the most difficult job of the lot.
He has.
Now, straight after that.
We've got Les, and he's the president of the Nanango Show Society.
Now, do you know this show's been running for 21 years this year?
The muster, yes.
And what a mammoth task. Les has got one of the responsibilities too, with a bunch of other volunteers who make it all happen.
That's correct.
So he's our next guest, and then straight after that.
We've got Terry Mackerel, and he's from the Heritage Waterhole Rocks.
Dance Festival.
Yes.
Now, that's not on for about 5 weeks' time.
That's correct.
But they get about 450 vans here for that.
I know, and that's all dancing.
And that is huge.
Yes, rock and roll dancing.
And he's an amazing fellow.
Oh, yes.
And he's also got something to do with the gas guzzlers.
Yes.
Which, of course, are hot rods and hotted up motor cars. Because at that particular event, Heritage Waterhole Rocks Dance Festival, they got show and shine.
Yes, they have.
All these fabulous old hot rods. And what an amazing guy he is.
Yes, he
absolutely
is.
Unbelievable. Now, we also intended to have another guest.
Yeah.
But we couldn't fit him in.
Right. So now, he's on next week.
He's on next week's program. Yeah, he's going to kick off next week's program. And he is one of Australia's finest bush poets.
And his name's Gary Fogarty.
Gary Fogarty. And what a character he is.
Mm-hmm.
And what an unbelievable poet he is. And before we start all this stuff, I'm going to play a song too by one of the entertainers that's actually going to be appearing here. Now, he goes by the name of?
Jeff Brown.
And we're going to play a song by him called Sandy Kid.
Right.
Sensational bush balladeer he is, Mr. Jeff Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And what a fabulous song Sandy Kid is. And right at the end, because Gary Fogarty is going to be kicking off the show next week, we're going to play one of his poems.
That's right.
From his Bigger, Sharper Spurs album.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're going to play by Gary is a number called...
Garden Gnome Assassin.
Garden Gnome Assassin. It's a crack-up, listeners. You're going to love it.
Right.
Stick it out and listen to that. So apart from all these wonderful people, all these fabulous discussions, we've also got a great selection of music
as requested by the people we interview.
So, Lynn, what do you think?
On with the show! I've seen cattlemen around Australia, the ones who've stood the test. But I met a man at Cooper's Creek, I liked his story best. He looked like a tough old bushman who'd worked hard for a quid. He's a cattleman from Windora, his name is Sandy Kidd. Well, he cruised up in a swirl of dust, was about midday. He said, come and have some lunch with me, I've gotta be on my way. The endurance riders are coming, the Endeavour rally too, and I've gotta fly to Roma for a big political do. Well, he took off in a light aircraft, its colour was mainly white. His son flies a helicopter, on the strip was an ultralight. They've got a station in the Gulf and some Cooper Channel land, and Sandy reckons the Cooper's Creek couldn't be more grand. His name is Sandy Kidd. He's as tough as a kidgee tree, and like the outback mulga, he's where he wants to be. He likes to breed good cattle, and he sells at the highest bid. He's a cattleman from Windora, his name is Sandy Kidd. To irrigate cotton out on Cooper's Creek, and the Cotton Kings thought Windora would be too small to speak. But Sandy sat for Parliament, and I tell you what he did. He told them where to stick their cotton. His name is Sandy Kidd. If they'd have irrigated Cooper's Creek, the next would have been the Barcoo, the Thompson, the Georgina, and the Diamantina too. But Australians backed up Sandy with the TV and the quid. This cattleman from Windora, his name is Sandy Kidd. And if you ever go out to Cooper's Creek, to its big fishing holes, you'll hear stories of Burke and Wills and other pioneering souls. But a new name has been added, and to him I raise my lid. To a cattleman from Windora, his name is Sandy Kidd. And when he leaves old Cooper's Creek and heads for the pearly gates, his name will be up there in gold, he'll be up there with the greats. He'll be wearing a pocket knife and a high-crowned bushman's lid. This legend from Windora, his name is Sandy Kidd. His name is Sandy Kidd. He's as tough as a gidgee tree, and like the outback mulga, he's where he wants to be. He likes to breed good cattle, and he sells at the highest bid. He's a cattleman from Windora, his name is Sandy Kidd. He's a legend from Windora, his name is Sandy Kidd.
I am at the Nanango Country Music Muster with a gentleman who has probably one of the most difficult jobs at the entire event. His name is Keith, and he's the man responsible for parking, or, well, not parking, but instructing all the guests here with their motorhomes and or caravans. How are you going this afternoon, Keith?
Not too bad at all this afternoon.
Yes.
After a good night's sleep. Been doing it now for the week, and I've had quite a few very early nights after yes. We've worked all day. I think our busiest day was Tuesday. I think we put in over 100 vans here on Tuesday.
Fair enough.
So by the time you park them all and get them all happy, it's a big job.
Now, you've been doing this for a little while, but this year it's all been sort of thrust upon you because we had a regular parking attendant here, Brownie, who did 16 out of the 20 years. And sadly, Brownie's gone to, I guess, country muster heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And you used to be his assistant, is that right?
Yeah, I was sort of taken under Brownie's wing. And at the festival here, I used to park and look after the arena, which
okay.
is basically about 100 vans.
Right.
And Brownie used to look after the outside.
Okay.
And then with his passing, and I got a phone call and said, you better step up a little bit.
Okay.
So I had to come in now. So there's two of us that are doing the parking here.
Right.
And, it's a lot bigger job because when I had just the arena,
right.
I knew all the people, I knew exactly where to put them. Now I've got to struggle a little bit to find all the box numbers and put the people in the right box numbers.
Okay.
And mind you, they know where they're going.
They know where they're going, don't they? But
some of the box numbers have changed, haven't they, this year? So have you had any dramas with any of the regulars that have been parking at the same spot for year upon year upon year?
Yes.
So when what sort of reaction do they get when you take them in a different direction? They sort of go, hang on, Keith.
No. They're still going in the same direction.
Okay.
But when they get there, it's not the same box number.
Okay.
So they've been coming here for 15 years and I'm on box 32. Well, now it's box 25.
Okay.
So you have to convince them a little bit, but they're still basically in the same area where they are. And a lot of times what I ask them is, where were you last year? And they will virtually take you to there.
Okay. And you try and keep them where they were.
Well, you got to keep them happy. That's the name of the game. If you can keep them happy,
okay,
everyone's happy.
Fair enough. Did you have any idea how much responsibility? I mean, I know you used to help Brownie and you used to look after the oval with 100. But now I see you going in all directions. Did you think it was going to be this tough for the first year?
No. I realised it was going to be there. It was just a matter of getting the right people in the right places where they want to go and keep them happy. But I park at other festivals.
Yes, you do.
And, you know, I've got the experience there to do it. Try and keep them happy or keep them happy.
So
sometimes it's hard, though.
So what other festivals do you do, Keith?
I do Capella.
Right.
Capella Music Festival.
Yes.
Do it up there. I do Bandoomba.
Mm-hmm.
I do the Spirit of the Bush, and I've just finished Scots in the Bush. Then we do the music festival here at Nanango, and then I'm back in 3 weeks, and we do the Waterhole Rock Festival.
The Waterhole Rock. And is that it for you for the year?
That's it.
For the year?
Yeah.
So you can kick back and relax then?
Yeah, I'll go home and see if I can catch a fish.
Where's home for you, Keith?
I live at Burram Heads.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. And what got you into it as being a volunteer? Because a lot of people think, volunteer, I'll do that, I'll get a free ticket. But goodness me, you start at 8 o'clock in the morning, you're still going at 5 or 6 o'clock in the evening. That's a paid job. That's not a free ticket.
Yeah.
What got you into it?
It's just something I like to do. I like to talk to people.
Yep.
And, you know, you get to mix. And a lot of people that come in this weekend, they said, we saw you at Capella or we saw you at Bandoomba, you know. That's the reason I do it. I just enjoy doing it. Plus, it's also, when you're retired, it gives you something to look forward to. And, so that's just what I like to do.
Do you get an opportunity to watch any of the show and meet any of the artists, or are you just so busy that you don't even get a chance to listen or look or hear or anything?
Well, you do get to meet a few of the artists, but you're very busy through the day, but it does drop off sort of from Friday night. So Saturday, basically what I do Saturday, I sit down on my chair, and if they want me, they give me a call, and then I just jump in the buggy and go up and park.
Fair enough.
That's probably Saturday, Sunday. When there's not too many, well, most of them are in by then.
Yes.
So that's probably the time that I get to see it. Capella, probably as an example, the only time I get to see that sort of maybe later at night, because when they come in, we put a sign up, you know, any late arrivals ring me.
Okay.
So in the buggy and away I go.
So we're on the oval now. The main stage is here. We've still got the walk-up artists. Have you got any more to park on the oval, or is the oval done now?
No. I've still got quite a few spots here to go yet.
Okay.
A lot of the oval is powered, except for the middle. And I've got two rows through the middle of, what have I got, 12 through the middle. Yeah, something like that anyway. And then there's still a lot of unpowered here.
Okay.
Although I was amazed yesterday, I offered some people that'll park way down the back of the ground, you know, would you like to park on the oval? And they said no. So I couldn't work that out.
Maybe too noisy for them.
Well, I think I'd rather put up with a bit of noise and probably walk half a kilometre or three quarters of a kilometre.
I'm the same. But, you know, maybe they didn't want to have all day of walk-up artists, because that can be a bit challenging at times.
Yeah, I don't know.
With respect to the walk-up artists.
They just didn't want to park there, but then everyone else that comes in, is there anything on the oval?
Yep.
Well, no, sorry, not at this stage.
Fair enough. So what was that you were offering that to? Was that like a motorhome or a caravan?
Two people in caravans, they were older people.
Yes.
And I try and, you know, the older people with mobility issues, that type of thing, I try to put them here where they'd be close to the stage, close to the amenities.
Of course.
That's what I try to do.
Yeah, good idea for them, especially if they do have mobility issues, because at least then they can make their way to the stage and the seating area without having to, you know, make too much effort.
That's right, yeah.
They might be just here for the atmos and catching up with friends and stuff. They might only come up to see one or two artists. Some of them, I noticed when we got here, and we've been here now for over a week, some of these people have had their chairs in position like 9-10 days before the event starts. What's that all about, Keith?
Well, that's their spot. And if you go up and have a look at the chairs, you'll find most of them bolted down.
Bolted?
They screw them down to the ground so that nobody can actually move them away.
Move the chair.
Oh, yeah.
How long has that been going on? How long have you been coming here?
I've been coming here now probably 7-8 years.
Okay.
And that's been going on since then. And they'll actually get ropes too. And if there's a group, say, of six, they'll rope all the chairs together and then they screw them down.
Wow. Does that cause problems, do you think, with any of the other people? Because, I mean, if they get here a week before it starts, they lock in their position, put their chair there, and then don't appear for the first 4 or 5 days because they may not want to watch any of the walk-up artists. Does that cause a problem with other punters?
It certainly does.
Okay.
There's always a lot of complaints about it, and people say, well, you know, why have they got their chairs down? And, well, they come early and they get them down, and that's why they come early. They come early to get a good spot, like for parking on the arena. There was people here 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
And they come so that they can get the fence spots, I guess you'd say, where they can back up to the fence. And there are taps spasmodically placed around the outer rim of the arena, so they hook onto those as well. So they've got power and water. And if the people that come into the centre, well, there's no water in there.
No.
But what I recommend to people is the ones that are hooked up to water, run a hose out, ask them nicely to put it onto their A-frame tap, and fill your tanks.
Yes.
And it works well. The system works well. And very rarely anyone will be cranky and knock it back.
So when did you arrive here for this? Because the festival, it starts on the Friday in a few days' time. When did you get here? Well, 2 weeks ago? 3 weeks ago?
I was here 3 weeks ago.
3 weeks ago?
Yeah, we come down from Scott's in the Bush Festival.
Yes.
And because the start of the month was the Sunday.
Right.
And the market is the first weekend. So that was an extra week.
Okay.
So I come down. And when I come down, the Show Society guy and I, we mark out all the ovals.
Okay.
But being a week ahead, it wasn't a good idea because the grass grew up through the paint and we lost a lot of our marks.
Okay.
So spasmodically, I guess you could say I've been going around and redoing the marks as I sort of see where they've faded out.
Okay.
And it makes it a lot easier. And I've worked out a system. I have a long rope and I mark out the divisions of it, peg it down, run it out and then paint along there so you know exactly the amount of space for each van.
Yeah.
And now with the new regulations coming in where you've got to be a metre and a half between a van, so it works out well that way, so you can just measure it out and put them in the right place.
Is that a metre and a half on either side?
No, like it's a metre and a half from the awning to the next van.
From the awning to the next van.
So when you've got a van with an awning, you've got the awning to the van, you've got that metre and a half, and it works out all the way down the line.
And on the other side, is there a restriction, like the solid wall side of the caravan, as to how close they can get?
No, it'd be
a metre and a half.
It's still your awning.
Still your awning, yeah.
Whichever way you go, you've got to have an awning caravan. Yeah.
Fair enough. So marking the grass early was a bad thing. Was that something you learnt this year, or is that something?
Well, the first year, I think, maybe the second year we did it, we marked it with chalk. And then it rained, so there was nothing left on the ground at all. So then we had to redo it again. You learn as you go.
Fair enough.
So we found that the paint is best, but next year it'll only be sort of the week before. It won't be 3 weeks before that we put the paint down.
Fair enough. Next year. So you'll be here next year? You'll be doing it again?
Who knows what's going to happen next year, but, I'll probably be here.
God willing, you'll be here again next year.
God willing, you would
say,
yeah.
Good on you. Good on you, Keith. Mate, we're going to have to wind this up now. And I always play a song after each chat, and it's got to be Aussie. Have you got a favourite Australian singer or band?
Yeah, I like Slim Dusty.
Yes.
And the song I think I would play for that is Looking Forward, Looking Back, because we look forward to the next festival.
Okay.
We look back and we look over the festival that's passed and see how we can do it better or what we can improve on, help the people that's there. So Looking Forward, Looking Back.
Sensational song too, Keith. Thank you so much for your time, my friend.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure, and thank you. I know you're a busy man, but thank you for your time. Really appreciate that.
Thank you.
We'll be back with more of Raymond Oz, folks, straight after Slim Dusty's Looking Forward, Looking Back.
looking forward, looking back. I've come a long way down the track, got a long way left to go, making songs from what I know, making sense of what I've seen. All the love we've had between you and I along the track, looking forward, looking back. There are strange days full of change on the way, but we'll be fine. Unlike some, I'll be leaning forward to see what's coming. Looking forward, looking back. I've come a long way down the track, got a long way left to go, making songs what I know. If I'm alone at night, I can see through all triviality of the day, and I'm okay. I just think of those who are dear to me. Looking forward, looking back. I've come a long way down the track, got a long way left to go, making song from what I know, making songs from what I know. Looking forward, looking back.
Welcome back to the show, listeners. Phil C here. This is Roman Oz. And we are at Ninango Country Music Muster in its 21st year. And I'm chatting with Les, and he is the president of the Ninango Show Society. How are you going today, Les?
I'm going very well, Phil. Nice. Yep, the sun's out at the moment. It's real good.
Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us. The sun is out at the moment.
Yep.
It's a beautiful day here in Ninango, isn't it?
Yeah, well, we had a little shower earlier in the week, but no, it's looking good now.
It is indeed. Yeah, yep. Fingers crossed we won't get a hailstorm like we did last year.
No, that was a bit unfortunate, but at any rate, you can't help these things.
You can't help the weather, but the main thing is we're expecting really good weather.
Yeah.
And
They're saying the weekend. They're expecting the weekend to be good.
Yeah. You've got a good crowd in here, and you've also got a great selection of artists here. You've got Lonnie Lee this year.
Yeah, well, last year we had Jade Hurley on the Thursday night, so we're looking forward to Lonnie Lee. I haven't seen him in person myself.
Yes.
I've heard him. And, we're looking forward to that show tonight. So
they call Lonnie the last man standing, you know, because he's nearly 84.
Yeah, well, at any rate, he's doing a wonderful job.
He sure is.
To keep going like that and putting on a good show.
Yeah, and he's got a lot of supporters, a lot of people follow him around, so I think he's going to be every bit as good as Jade Hurley was last year. I think he's gonna
be well, I've heard that. You know, I've heard he's every amount that good, so time will tell.
Yep.
So we just hope we get nice weather for tonight, and it'll be a brilliant night.
I'm sure it'll be fantastic. Now, tell us a bit about yourself. How long have you been the president of the Show Society?
Yeah, well, of the Show Society, it's actually, I think, near enough to 30 years.
Okay.
And, on the Show Society itself, and then, and I was on the original committee that started this off.
Okay.
And been on it ever since. So, and it's just sort of gone from strength to strength.
It has indeed. Do you get a large number of vans out here?
Yeah.
And you're expecting a good number, good rollout this year?
Yeah, well, we're expecting a good roll-up, but it may not be quite as good as previous years, couple of years. You know, it could be back a bit. There's been a few little problems and that, but anyway, it'll still be a wonderful show.
I'm sure it'll be a fabulous show.
It will be. Like, marvellous lineup of artists, throughout the weekend. We're just looking forward to good weather and it'll all happen.
So who came up with the idea? Was it your idea, being on the Show Society for 30 years? Or
well,
a
there was a...
of people?
There was another fellow here, John Calvert, and we had another ear bashing thing on here previous to this show.
Okay.
And any rate, we were standing up there one night controlling all the drunks, and we thought, well, if we can't run something better than this ourselves, we'd give it away. So that's when the idea was put forward to run a country music festival.
Yes.
And so we had John, and then there was another few. Alan Ashcroft was on the committee then too. Dean Perrott, of course, and Glenn Jones. They were all around then. So we had a good backing to start with, you know, to advise us what to do and everything like that. And that's why they said, well, you get Mick Moss in with a decent stage and the sound is good.
Good sound, good production.
And so Mick's been here every year as well.
Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, you know,
so the last thing you want to have is a troublesome festival. You're talking about drunks before.
Yeah.
One of the good things about this is there's no trouble here. There's no police presence.
No,
you don't need it. They're just all here to have a good time and do the right thing and enjoy the music.
Well, and that's what happens, you know. That's one fortunate thing we've got here. We've got a lovely facilities here, and up the back, you know, we cater meals for the whole week, and the girls do a very good job at catering, and then we've got the bar and the coffee, and everything's really handy.
Yes.
Plenty of seating up there, and so it all works very well.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So you mentioned Dean Perrott before. Now, Dean's a fabulous country singer, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's balladeer. He's won numerous Golden Guitar Awards in Tamworth.
Yep.
Would he be one of your favourites, do you think?
Oh, yeah, no. Well, he's very good.
Yeah.
I really enjoy some of the songs that he writes.
Okay.
You know, they're good. And just a good fella, you know, general good entertainer.
Good down to work.
And good to have him with us, because he knows more people than probably we know.
A lot of artists.
Yeah, lots of artists and everything, so it works out very good.
Yes. Mm. And he's a good mate with Jeff Brown.
Yeah, Jeff Brown, well, he's...
Brownie's here again this year. He was here last
year. Yeah, Brownie, and there's a few of them that are on our permanent list.
Yes.
So, and Jeff's one of them. Unfortunately, Tom Maxwell can't make it this year. So, which is unfortunate, but at any rate, that's what happens.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So, any plans for next year?
We're not sure what we're going to do on the Thursday night yet.
Yes.
So, that one's still up in the air, but look, the festival will be just much the same.
Festival will be the same.
The list of artists are out there now.
Yes.
So, they're booked. And it's all ready to go again.
Yep. Yeah. But you're not sure about the guest artist?
No.
Last year,
no.
Being the 20th year last year, you had Jade Hurley this year, 21st.
Yeah.
You've got Lonnie Lee.
That's
right. That's going to be great. You think you may have a guest artist, or you're not sure yet?
No, we're not sure yet. Okay. You know, it costs a lot of money.
Of course.
And so we're just going to see how our bookings go.
Right.
And then work something out from... later on.
Yeah.
It's good, but then you get the 16 walk-up artists, finals of them, and they're very good too.
Okay, yeah.
You know, they do a real good concert.
Yes.
Yeah, so we're happy with that. So, we've just got to make our mind up on that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, it's a great concept for people that aren't professional that do want to have a go, because as you said, you've got your walk-up artist concert
tonight.
So there's 16 of the best... People's choice.
It's the people's choice. We found that was the best way to go. It sort of kept us
out of it.
Out of it.
No favouritism.
So there's no politics.
Yes.
And So we just left it up to them, and I think they end up getting it pretty right.
Yep.
Yeah.
And apart from the walk up artist concert, your special artist, you also did an old time dance last night. You did it last year as well. How did that go? You had quite a few up there last night, didn't you?
It's always good. They love it. And like our old Heritage Hall up there, it's got a beautiful wooden floor in it.
Yes.
And it's just ideal for an old time dance.
Yeah.
Yeah. So everybody, there's a lot of people look forward to it, and we've got good music for it as well, you know, so it works out good.
And has that been a feature of the Nango Muster for the whole time, or is it newly introduced?
It's been on for a fair while. I'm just not sure. It wasn't originally, but it's been on for quite some time now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And apart from that, though, for anybody who just wants to come out here and camp, you've got great facilities. You've got showers, you've got toilets.
Oh, yeah, no, we've got...
Power, water?
Yeah, well, we run out of power probably, but there's still plenty of camping on the ground.
Yes.
You know, so... And water. And you're close to the action.
You sure are.
Yeah, you know, it's only a short walk and you're up at the stage.
In the stage area.
Yeah.
So the idea of that, though, is if they want power, they've got to book early. They've got to
you'd have to book early. Yeah, we're limited, you know. We've got 300-odd powered sites, I think, and after that, they're on their own. But lots of caravanners now don't need power.
Don't need it, no.
You know, they're fully set up on solar and everything, so which is good.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Really good. So
who's your... I can't say this because people might hear it and go, hang on, but with the ones that you regularly have, Dean Perrott, you got Brian Letton, you got Jeff Brown... I mean, have you got a favourite amongst any of these? Or?
Not really. I reckon they're all good.
They're all good.
You know, I think they're all good. Well, that's why we've kept that little nucleus of permanents,
regulars,
to come. And we'll get Graham Rogers again sometime, you know. Well, he dropped out a couple of years ago or something. But yeah, we'd like to get him back too sometime, and that. So, and hopefully Tom Maxwell.
I mean, Maxwell,
all good again, you know.
And you got Lance Burrell this year now. You've not had Lance.
No,
He's exceptionally good.
Yeah, well, he's the one I haven't heard. So
he's really good.
Yeah, no, I think it's everybody seems to be pretty happy with the lineup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most definitely.
So, and again next year, we're all happy.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
All right, Les. Well, thanks so much for talking to me.
Thank you.
I know you've been really, really busy, mate. Before I let you go, though, we always end up with an Australian singer or band. You got a favourite?
Oh, yeah, the Slim Dusty one. That's what I normally like, Slim Dusty.
Okay, now your favourite by him would be...
G'day, g'day.
G'day, g'day. And that's usually what you do when you see people walking around the Oval or walking around the place. And
yeah.
G'day, g'day to everyone.
Well, it's here, do you do? There's that many people you sort of know and acquainted with. It's all g'day, g'day.
Absolutely fantastic. Yeah. All right, Les, thanks for that, mate, and I hope you have a fabulous weekend. The weather stays good for us, and we have an absolutely brilliant Nanango Country Music Muster.
Thank you very much, Phil, and we'll catch up with you next year.
Good on you, my friend.
Good on you.
We'll be back with more of Roman Oz straight after Slim Dusty's G'day, G'day.
G'day, g'day, how you going? What do you know? They'll strike a light. G'day, g'day, and how you going? Just say g'day, 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 and you'll be right. Isn't it great to be an Aussie, taking a walk along the street, looking in shops or buying a paper, stopping and having a yarn with people that you meet down at the pub or at a party, whenever you're stuck for what to say. If you want to be dinky-dye, why don't you give it a try? Look 'em right in the eye and say g'day. G'day, g'day, how you going? What do you know? Well, strike a light. G'day, g'day, and how you going? Just say g'day, 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 and you'll be right. Now when Italians meet, they all go crazy. The
Blokes who like to hug each other too. The Yanks invented hi and see you later, while the Pommy will shake your hand and say, how do you do? Now watch out for a Frenchman or he'll kiss you. The Spaniards go for Ola and Ole, but in the land of the cockatoo, cock hats and the didgeridoo. When you meet an Aussie, 10 to 1, here's what he'll say. G'day, g'day. How you going? What do you know? Or strike a light. G'day, g'day. And how you going? Just say g'day, 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 and you'll be right. It's a greeting that you'll hear across Australia, from Geraldton to Govan Gundigai. It's as dinkum as the dingo and the dahlia, and you spell it with a G apostrophe, a D-A-Y. G'day, g'day. How you going? What do you know? We'll strike a light. G'day, g'day. And how you going? Just say g'day, 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 and you'll be right. G'day, g'day. And how you going? What do you know? We'll strike a light. G'day, g'day. And how you going? Just say g'day, g'day, g'day. Just say g'day, 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 and she'll be right.
Welcome back to the show, listeners. Phil C here. This is Raymond Oz, and I'm at Nenango Country Music Muster talking with Terry Mackwell, and he's from the Heritage Waterhole Rocks Rock and Roll Dance Festival. Now, Terry, where are you from?
Well, I'm from Nenango here. I'm not a local yet because I've only been here 40 years.
Okay.
But, yeah, I'm the main organiser of an event called the Waterhole Rocks.
Okay.
It's on in October from the 16th to the 20th. So we start on a Wednesday night and we go till Sunday afternoon.
Okay.
We get about 450 caravans that come. We have dancing from usually about 9 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock at night. And the reason we only go till 10 because, yeah, they're all a bit older and they want to wander off to bed.
Fair enough.
But, yeah, it's rock and roll, partner dancing, not much line dancing, hopefully. I've got to turn the lights out if they do that. Yes, I hate it.
Fair enough,
but no, they seem to like it. And but, yeah, we have a 222-square-metre dance floor, which we designed and we lay it every year. We normally have that down about a week before. But some of the bands, and we've had hundreds of bands over the last... We've been going 11 years. Last year was our 10th year, which was a big event. But we've got Blue Suede, they're a really good band. Little Stevie and the Tailfins, the Rock and Roll Boys, the Rock and Roller Billies, the Chevys, Buddy Love and the Tremors, Dodgy Rockers, Jeff Hancock, and there's a couple other bands I just can't remember at the moment, but yeah. So
how long's it been running, Terry?
Well, it's been running, this is our 11th year.
Okay.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people haven't heard about it.
Yes.
But we have had people come from overseas, New Zealand, all over Australia, Tasmania. We class that as Australia,
yeah,
I suppose.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
A lot of Tasmanian listeners.
Nice people. Yeah, and no, they come from everywhere, and a lot of them come, like the Country Music Muster here, they come a week or so before. Which is great because it puts a lot of money into town.
Yes.
Not that that's what we do it for. The main reason to get it going was so that, I don't know, I'm into the hot rods and custom cars and I travel all over southeast Queensland, New South Wales going to events. And I thought, God, you know, why can't we have one a year in town?
Yes.
Put it to the show society, they said yes. Put a committee together and, yeah, the rest is history and now it's very successful.
So I heard it actually came about by you having a 60th birthday party here. Is that correct?
Yeah, she
Tell
was
us
a beauty.
About that.
Yeah, I've only ever had two parties, a 21st and a 60th, and the
right.
60 was a bloody ripper. I hired the showgrounds. I had about 250 people turn up. We had two pigs on the spit. We had fireworks. Billy Stem, mate of mine, come and did the firework. But the other part I didn't mention before was that it's unusual you drive into a hotel and say, look, I need 108 cartons of beer and 20 cartons of rum. And the guy said, yeah, no worries, mate, we'll get that ready for in about half an hour. That was fine. But when I went back, he said, there's a problem. I said, what? He said, mate, you're not legal to take this on your ute.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So I had to go home and get the trailer.
Right.
Because it was too much weight. But, yeah, we drank all that, and we ate all the food, and we danced the night away, and people still talk about it. And then I was sitting around with Les, the Show Society president, and he, you know, we were talking about the event, and he said, well, yeah, we should put that on every year, you know, because it was all rock and roll music and stuff.
Of course.
And, yeah, and the, as I say, rest is history. And but, yeah, it's not just rock and roll. We, you know, they do a bit of partner dancing, line dancing. But we have had... some guests, people that have come, but one in particular which was very, very close to my heart, which was Vicky O'Keefe.
Okay.
Johnny O'Keefe's daughter.
Yes.
And we just happened to be sitting there one night, and this lady said she knew her. That was on a Thursday night, and next thing, we're on the phone. We've sent her, you know, sent her a text. Next morning, we're on the phone, and by that afternoon, she was here. And we didn't tell anybody. We just said, we've got a special guest. And next thing, she walks in and starts singing and playing. And, yeah, it was really good because Johnny O'Keefe's obviously my favourite. King of rock and roll.
Australian rock and roll, without a doubt.
Yeah.
God rest his soul.
Yeah. I mean, you hear many versions of Shout and that, but no one does it like Johnny.
No.
Just waste of time.
So it's been running for about 11 years.
Yep.
Now, what sort of costs are involved? Like you said, people come here for a week, so let's talk about prices for our travellers.
Yep. All right, well, it'll cost you $60 a head to get in, right?
Okay.
And that covers you for everything that goes on here.
Right.
Right, we have a pig on the spit, and you don't have to eat these meals, like a pig on the spit, but we do get about 450 people that want to do it.
Right.
But the camping is $20 a night.
Okay.
Which is dirt cheap.
Yep.
And, that's about all. That's the only cost you got.
Okay. So the pig on the spit, you don't pay for that?
Yeah, you pay for that.
You pay for that.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, sorry.
So you've got the entertainment, and you're providing the pig on the spit if anybody wants to, you know, partake in that. $60 per person for the event. How long does the event run for?
Well, we start on the Wednesday night at, we start at 5 o'clock down at the South Burnett Gas Guzzlers Club Rooms. We do a barbecue tea, and that goes till 7 o'clock.
Okay.
At 7 o'clock we come up to the main pavilion up here. I open the doors and the 222 square meter dance floor, and I tell you, if you don't get out of their way, they'll run over you to
That's
get to the dance floor.
Massive dance floor.
It is.
220 square meters.
Yeah, it's probably biggest in southeast Queensland.
Wow. Yeah.
And we're extending it. We're going to extend the pavilion to make room for more seating. But then we're also going to extend the dance floor probably by another 100 square metres. So,
Okay. So you said, you mentioned the bands before. You've got about half a dozen bands who come.
Yeah, more than that, yeah.
So just off the top of my head, there's probably 10, mate, I'm not sure. But how long do they play? Do they have a set?
Most bands play for either 3 or 4 hours.
Right.
The nighttime ones normally play for the 3 hours. They'll go from 7 till 10.
Yes.
But during the day, they might do a 4 hour stint. But even then, there's no stopping, because in the meantime, when one band finishes, the other band will play for, say, half an hour while there's a changeover.
Okay.
So we've got, like, Jeff Hancock's. He'll just come on and do his... He's an Elvis tribute artist.
Right.
He'll just come on and sing Elvis song. But 99% of the songs, and this is I emphasise this to the bands, is it's got to be rock and roll. It's got to be dance music.
Yes.
Because they don't come here to just watch an artist or the band. They want to dance.
They want to dance.
And I can tell you now, there are certain bands. We had Old 45s, which is probably one of the best bands, but now we got Rock and Roll Billy Boys. They're really good.
Okay.
Not only that, they use my hot rodders in their promotions, so tend to like them a bit.
So the dancing starts early in the morning?
Yeah.
What time does it start?
I'll tell you what, 5 o'clock in the morning, you come up to the main pavilion here, there'll be 100 people sitting around.
Really?
Yeah, they're just waiting. They've snagged a table. That's the one they want, and they'll sit there with their tablecloth and stuff, and they'll be waiting for the band to start at 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock.
And I come along and open the pavilion up, and you almost get knocked over with the stampede. People rushing in, wanting to grab a chair.
Okay.
You know, and It's really good.
So it starts at 9 o'clock in the morning. What time do they wind up the music in the evening?
Oh, 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock.
But then it might be like 10:30, 10:45 before we clear them out a bit and the band packs up and I stay there until then, and then I shut the place up and we clean up while we're doing that, okay. You know, get rid of all the rubbish and everything and, yeah, sweep the place out and get it ready for the next morning. And yeah.
So it is all day and into the evening rock and roll dancing?
Yes.
Long as dance till you drop.
Yep, yep. And we have a loudspeaker system, same as the muster here, where it goes all around the ground. So even if you decide to go back to, you know, get cleaned up or something, you can still hear the music. I live 3K down the road, and I can hear the music down there.
Really?
But I camp here. I don't even go home during the event.
Okay.
So, and I don't drink, so it's not that I don't want to, you know, drink and drive. But, yeah, no, I'm too busy.
Too busy. Yeah, so when you mentioned alcohol, now can they bring their own or do they have to buy at the bar?
You can bring your own alcohol, you can bring your own food, you can bring your dog.
Okay.
We do run a bar, we run a kitchen, so if you don't want to cook or you don't want to bother bringing any drinks, that's fine. We don't care whether you drink ours or yours. No, we don't have the fun police. We don't have them rushing around, you know. The only thing we do ask is that no dogs in the undercover area.
Yes.
But we are going to make a little area out towards the edge of the undercover area where people can sit undercover with their dogs, but it'll only be like, you know, 20 metres or probably 10 metres by 10 metres or something. Okay. But I'll tell you another thing that we do have, which is the best idea we've ever come up with.
Yep.
Is if you're a single person, for instance, and you come along, or even a married person, say you've got a husband that doesn't dance.
Right.
We give you a yellow armband. Everyone gets an armband, but the special people, they'll get a yellow armband also.
Right.
And that means that you will dance with anybody.
Right.
So that means that, you know, that you don't have to be self-conscious or whatever to get up and go, oh, gee, should I go and ask that absolutely gorgeous woman there if she'll dance with me? Because she will.
Okay.
And that has been one of the best little ideas that we've come up with, and it works really well. And the bloody women love it because they're only there to dance. They're not there to sit around and watch or drink.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But the other thing that for me, I'm into rock and roll myself, but you get all a couple of hundred people on the dance floor, for instance, and all the ladies with the dresses and the guys they've got the same, they're matched, you know, and you see the ladies spinning with the dresses and coming right out with the full flare and that. It's magic. It's mesmerising. A lot of people just do come just to sit and watch and listen to the music.
So what about the level of dancing? What about if you've never done rock and roll before, or if you are but you're very ordinary? Have you got different levels of dancers? Have you got dance instructors? Or?
No, we did try that, and we got complaints. People said, we didn't come here to learn how to dance, we come here to dance.
Okay.
But the people who don't know how to dance, I can tell you now that once they come, they will want to dance and they will go and learn. Most people come from elsewhere, but the people in the Nango here, we do, there's dance lessons down at the Nango RSL every Wednesday night, but there's another mob that does dance lessons, rock and roll, and that up in Kingaroy. I think they're on Thursday nights, we're on Wednesday nights, and some of our mob go up there too.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to learn, there's plenty of people out there will teach you, and all over Australia there are dance groups. When you walk around here, there'll be caravans that'll be set up, and there might be like Dance On or, you know, Ipswich Rockers and all these, and there'll be groups of them. They're all camped together in their caravans, you know, and they've got their banners up, and they all get around with their, like, uniform on, and it's great.
Fantastic.
To see so many old people, and I can say that because I'm 76, to see so many old people getting around having so much fun. And hardly anyone playing with a mobile phone.
Absolutely.
Which is good.
Great stuff. So tell us the dates, Terry, for our listeners.
Right.
I know the price. It's $60 to get into the event, listeners, per person. $20 per night if you want to camp. That's for one or two people?
Yeah, that's two people.
Two people.
There are cheaper unpowered sites and singles. And there's a bit of, but that's the maximum it's going to cost you.
And the dates are?
Yeah, and the 16th to the 20th of October.
Yes.
We call it Rocktober.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so, but you can come earlier, there's no problem, and you can stay later. And a lot of them do. A lot of them don't leave until the Monday. But we get a lot of people that'll come here for, like, 8 and 10 days.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, they want to get a good spot.
Yes.
And a good spot is with your caravan is very important.
Yes.
And they want to get usually the same spot that they've had in previous years. And we try to accommodate all that. But it's like the muster here. We have people that you come in, you stop at the gate, they'll escort you down to your site and tell you where you're going to be. There's no... Yeah, everyone's very friendly. We very rarely have any trouble. When you asked before about the alcohol and that, the bar doesn't serve much.
Okay.
Rock and rollers aren't big drinkers.
No.
You know, you can't really rock and roll and show off if you're half drunk.
Okay.
You know, so yeah, we don't have that problem. And but we have, you know, people on the bar. The bar will stay open as long as people are still buying. You know, we very rarely ever shut the bar before 10 o'clock.
Okay.
But yeah. It's all good.
Fantastic. Well, thanks for being part of the program, Terry. It's been an absolute pleasure. Before we wind this up, I've got to play you a track, and it's got to be Australian. Who's your favourite?
Johnny O'Keefe.
And your favourite Johnny O'Keefe song?
Shout.
Shout by Johnny O'Keefe. Yeah. That's going to get them all up on the dance floor. Now, Terry, where are you from again before we let you go?
I'm from Nanango, and the main organiser of the Heritage Waterhole Rocks. It's a rock and roll dance festival in mid-October. What's the old saying? Be there or be square.
Be there or be square. And there you go, folks. We're going to be back with more of Graham and Oz straight after Johnny O'Keefe's Shout.
Well, you know you make me want to shout.
There you go, folks. The late, great king of Australian rock and roll, Mr. J.O.K., with one of his biggest hits, Shout. I'm now going to play you a poem. This gentleman will be kicking off Raymond Oz next week. He's one of Australia's finest bush poets, and he's got an album called A Bigger, Sharper Spurs. We're going to play a poem from that because he is going to be our guest on the program, as I said, next week. He's going to kick it off for us. He goes by the name of Gary Fogarty, and the poem we're going to play from Bigger, Sharper Spurs is a number called Garden Gnome Assassin.
I'm not much for horror stories, but I fear I have to tell of some godforsaken demons that I'm sure were spawned in hell. The horrible manifestation of some tortured madman's dream. They invade our peaceful suburbs like a well-trained combat team. Standing sentinel in front yards to demolish all good taste. Transforming picture-perfect suburbs into... Such treachery, such treason that people use their homes. Harbouring vile midgets like these bloody garden gnomes. Yes, garden gnomes, good people, the invasion has begun, and the bastards are so sneaky that by now they've nearly won. They're in every quiet back street. They're in every shady lane. And thanks to bloody garage sales, they're on the march again. But enough's enough, I tell you. It's time to stand and fight. So I've planned a recon mission for the middle of the night. I've donned my daughter's combat gear, the latest fashion trend, and I've armed myself with golf clubs that I've borrowed from a friend. Now crawling through the dahlias with boot polish round my eyes, boy, won't Mrs. Roberts' garden gnomes be in for a surprise. The adrenaline is pumping. Well, the odds are 8-1. But a garden gnome assassin must do what must be done. Some dim light from a street lamp is all the help I need. I attack those bloody garden gnomes like Tiger Woods on speed. Ah, the dull thud of a three-wood as it strikes a concrete head that ricochets into the pool off of a garden shed. A near-on perfect record. 9 swings, 8 gnomes are dead. Then before I am discovered, I sneak off home to bed to contemplate more mischief against this demon foe by jotting down addresses of gnome lovers that I know. For it seems the Widow Murphy, who lives some 3 streets back, has been harbouring the culprits of a nasty drunk attack. For her boyfriend, who we won't name for fear of litigation, was attacked by gnomes on Friday while in a state of inebriation. And despite our local policemen questioning each and every one, not one of those stony faces gave a hint of what they'd done. So 40 vicious garden gnomes were freed for lack of proof. Now they're standing around, half smirking, all silent and aloof. This time the odds are greater, but the job must still be done. So I order in some ammo for my trusty old shotgun. Once more dressed in combat gear, my face in camouflage, I sneak into the widow's yard and hide near her garage. A moment's pause to catch my breath and check the gun is loaded. Then I charge straight in amongst them as the first gnome's head exploded. The old shotgun was smoking and the barrel glowed red hot, but I had no thought of stopping till I'd got the bloody lot. They couldn't run. They couldn't hide. They had to cop it sweet. I couldn't miss with a shotgun from, about 2 feet. I was happy. I was joyful. I was laughing close to tears. When I heard a sound, I reckon, is an assassin's greatest fear. With one gnome still remaining, fate conspired to play a hand, for as I squeezed the trigger, the gun didn't fire as planned. I was stunned there for a moment, both my heart and head felt sick. Then a sudden notion struck me, and I launched a kung fu kick. Oh, the ugly, sickening, crunching sound of a big toe striking stone. I didn't need a bloody x-ray to know I'd broken bone. I hobbled around in agony, tears streaming down my face, and slipped on the concrete rubble that was strewn around the place. I fell straight into a rose bush that had thorns like native spears, which caused tingling in my backside like I haven't felt for years. In my haste to be extracted, I tore the bum out of my pants, which gave pretty handy access to this nest of fire ants. With one hand on my backside and one hand on my toe, I started heading homeward just as fast as I could go. But I didn't see the danger as I bolted around the back, and Widow Murphy's clothesline launched a jugular vein attack. Now my body was convulsing as I gasped and fought for breath, and I sort of remember thinking I was pretty close to death. I reached out to support myself and grabbed the Barbie plate. Now who'd have bloody imagined it would hold its heat that late? Thank God that lazy widow left an egg flip close thereby so I could pry my smoking hand off before I smelt it fry. But burns can hurt like blazes, and so, in search of water, I fell into the goldfish pond and I don't think I oughta. Now, I suppose you reckon piranhas were lurking there to make me cry, but that would stretch the truth a bit and I don't like to lie. The truth is, I fell in open mouth and a fish caught in my jaws. But the widow's cat extracted it with a set of razor claws. Bleeding freely from the facial wounds, my body wringing wet, I somehow had this premonition that I wasn't finished yet. I must be bloody psychic, because I heard a Rottweiler growl, which set my head to spinning and did something to me bowel. But my luck was due for changing, for I only felt one bite. Although I've been singing soprano ever since that fateful night. And because of my new affliction, I seldom leave my home. I just sit here, planning vengeance on that bloody garden gnome.
We hope you enjoyed the show, listeners.
If you missed any, check out our Facebook page or allaussieradio.com.au.
Tune in next week for more Roman Oz.